It's 1994. We just got out of school. We rush home, go to our television sets. 4:30 p.m. rolls around, and what do we put on?
I was putting on Channel 5 before 4:30. I was putting it on from the moment I got in.
Oh, really?
I was watching Animaniacs. I was watching... What other ones were on? Animaniacs.
Pinky and the Brain?
Tiny Toons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pinky and the Brain was originally Channel 5.
But undoubtedly, all kids across the nation, most of us at 4:30, were watching...
The Power Rangers.
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Specifically, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I was at my abuela's house. She was making me crackers, and she would put like butter in between the crackers and make a little sandwich for me as a snack. It was great. Fond memories of this.
I have fond memories of just, you know, you would always get in fights with friends to like, it's like, what ranger are you? As a bully, I always ended up being the Red Ranger.
I always wanted to be the Green Ranger because it's my favorite color. I worked that way.
I hate his hair. I still hate his hair.
Okay, you know what? Let's pause here. This is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. It's morphing time.
Ooh, you beat me to it. Nicole, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm totally over my flu. So excited.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. So no coughing.
Yeah. Well, today we have just Eddie Z in the house today. Yeah. But actually, before we start talking about Power Rangers, though, I actually want to just remind all our listeners out there to follow us on social media.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram at Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. Mm-hmm. You can also follow us on Facebook at Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. And, you know, if you listen to today's episode or any of the other episodes, and you want to leave us comments or anything, you can always rate us and leave comments on whatever podcast app you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But please do rate us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you want to argue with me, by all means, email us. I love it. I love hearing them.
This blatant advertising makes me think of Krispy Kreme.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I love...
we'll get into that. So, millennial life. This is like our prime millennial nostalgia.
I think this is like millennials. So for some reason, this is like one of their big obsessions. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
And the Power Rangers are just so unique, you know, because like everyone loves the Power Rangers. Apparently there's been 24 seasons of the Power Rangers.
Yeah,
I was like,
can
what?
You believe? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny. And I had my godparents, his son, like when he was in his tweens, he was listening. He was watching Power Rangers, like different Power Rangers.
Mm.
And it was around that time period when they actually did re-released the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, like re-edited for like younger audiences again to kind of like get them, you know, to get them the experience of like the original cast. And apparently it was popular.
Interesting. You know?
And it makes you wonder, like, why did they wait like a decade to do the film that we're going to talk about a little later?
This is true. Why did they wait? But at the same time, it had good and bad timing.
I agree with you.
But talk about re-editing, actually. Let's just go back to the original and talk about where it all started.
Yeah, let's go for it.
With 1993's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series on Fox Network. Did you guys know that this, actually, a good chunk of all the fight scenes that you see in the Power Rangers were taken from a Japanese television show called Super Sentai, which was a tokusatsu, which is kind of a special effect genre in Japan, and kaiju mix, like a series that is huge. I think it's currently still running in Japan.
Oh, no, it definitely is. Disney, they're constantly releasing new episodes, so...
Yeah, but like the Super Sentai in Japan is like just as huge as the Power Rangers is over here. So anytime you see a fight scene, and I think anytime you see a ranger scene, that's from Super Sentai.
With the exception of anytime you see, if they're like obviously with their helmet off.
Yeah, with their helmets off.
Those would be like American, yes.
Yeah, but other than that, so brilliant, first of all.
It is actually, yeah, thank you. That is a good word to put it because it is actually brilliant if you think about it, right? Because the writers for the American version of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, they were kind of working backwards. You have this finite usable footage, and you had to like construct the stories backwards. It's just like, okay, they're fighting an airplane monster. So what?
How do we work this?
How do we work this into storyline? Well, we're gonna give Kimberly a fear of airplanes. That's how we're gonna, you know, turn this into a story and a lesson for kids.
Yeah.
it was only rewatching these now as an adult that I realized, like, fuck, there's like some actual brilliance into like the actual production of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Not the most well done production level, but like despite it, like the fact that like I had no idea until a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know you had asked me.
I was like, is this like a beautiful homage to like Japanese cinema or something? But it's smart.
They were just being cheap. That's
yeah,
what it
pretty
is.
Much
yeah.
super inexpensive.
They were
and
definitely
they could really
exploiting
capitalize.
The cast.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but go and, on. What else?
Well, let's talk about the cast then. Morphin' time. Dragon sword. Mastodon. Pterodactyl.
Triceratops. Saber-tooth tiger. Tyrannosaurus. Power Rangers are five teens who have been recruited by Zordon, who's this being trapped in a time warp.
Yeah.
Who gives these five teenagers, you know, specific instructions for Alpha to find where five overbearing and over emotional humans. So obviously they pick teenagers.
Teenagers.
And these teenagers are, you know, they have to rescue the world from problems that Rita Repulsa, she was our first main villain.
Mm-hmm.
She, for some reason, wants to take over the Earth. I think she lives in the moon. I always forget, like, how that works. She was not in the dumpster in the moon for some reason.
Yeah.
And she wants to take over the world. So
these she's the arch nemesis, essentially, of the show, too. The colors that the Rangers have is based off of what they have in Super Sentai.
Right.
And then they just gave teenagers these roles in the show.
Specifically, teens with attitude.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
Like, one of the storylines is Jason, like, trying to break the record for, like, most, like, bench presses, right?
Mm-hmm.
1,005, apparently. This 16-year-old kid can do 1,005
oh my gosh.
Bench presses.
That's true. Yeah, they were really level-headed kids, and they fit the bill for Power Rangers perfectly, essentially, because they had no fucking personalities.
With the exception of Bulk and Skull. How dare you say that they had no personalities?
They didn't they have all any had, personalities.
They all had different personalities.
All right, explain
Jason
the personalities.
Jason had leadership qualities. He was handsome. He was, like, always making sure that everyone was, like, trying to be the best they could be.
Oh, God, empty.
And then
unreal.
You had Zach, who was the funny dancer type. He was always trying to hit on women.
Mm-hmm. Zero dimensions there past that.
I mean, this is a kid's show. Like, how much depth do you want for a kid's TV show?
A little bit more realism would have been nice. But at the same time,
also,
that's what works for Power Rangers.
Each episode, you were exploring a part of their psyche with the monster that they were fighting.
Yeah.
For example, Billy apparently was afraid of fish. Why is a teenager afraid of fish? I don't know, but he had to deal with a monster
attacking
him. Yeah,
and Billy
was
the geek, and he was the smart one.
Billy was
one
the geek, he
stuff.
Was also the smart one.
And then what was Trini?
Oh, what was Trini? The one who dies in real life. That's who Trini is. Oh, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Not to crack a joke, but what can I say about Trini? She was athletic like Kimberly. It's so funny, right? I don't think no one ever wanted to be the Yellow Ranger.
Yeah.
Because the Yellow Ranger in the original footage was male.
Yes.
But for the show, they made her female. Mm-hmm. But none of the girls ever wanted to be the Yellow Ranger because, like, she just looked like a guy. You know, she didn't have the defining skirt like the Pink Ranger had.
Yeah.
So every time anytime you were kids and playing Power Rangers, none of the girls ever wanted to be yellow.
Yeah. Yellow, sadly, is the forgettable one.
She is the forgettable one.
Yeah.
Shot, you know.
Well, so in the original series, they originally started off as five Power Rangers.
Yes.
The Red Ranger is always the leader. And the original Red Ranger was Jason.
Yes, Austin St. John.
Yeah, what a great name.
Like porn star name.
Yeah. The Blue Ranger was Billy Cranston.
Yes.
The Yellow Ranger was Trini. I forgot her last name.
I'm sure it was probably something racist.
Yeah. The black one was Zach.
Zach Walters?
I think so.
I think it was maybe Walter was the name of the actor.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. And then the Pink Ranger was Kimberly.
Kimberly.
And sadly, the Black Ranger was also black.
Yes.
And the Yellow Ranger was of Asian descent. And everybody else was white.
At least they had some diversity.
And the girl was pink. And
they attempted to have... Well, the girl was also yellow. Oh, but she's Asian, right?
Yeah.
According to the actress who did play the original Trini, she says that was just coincidental.
Which is interesting because... And I didn't really realize this, but halfway through season two, the actors who played Zach, Trini, and I think it was
Jason
all left.
Right, they left because of contract dispute. So there's there's a lot of drama with this show.
Yeah.
Well, I said the word exploitation. So the one thing that was actually most certainly getting exploited in the production of the Power Rangers,
I think it was the cast.
It was the cast.
Yeah.
First of all, Jason, the guy who played Jason, Austin St. John, and Walter, who he played the Black Ranger.
Zach.
He played Zach. they were actually in martial arts. So they were always doing their own stunts instead of having like extras, which put them in jeopardy. Same thing goes with Kimberly and Trini. They were and Billy. They were gymnasts. So they were actually always being put in harm's way.
Yeah.
And they were apparently working 7 days a week. Not only were they working 7 days a week, so it was like 5 days of actual filming time and then 2 days of doing voiceover because they were doing all the voiceover work for all these action sequences.
Yeah.
So, you know, apparently the girl who played Trini, Zach, and Jason, they wanted more money. And the network was just like, nah. And they fired them.
Yeah.
So that's why they got replaced. And then it was in during the replacement that they actually flipped who the black person would be.
So yeah, because they got a lot of backlash for them.
The black girl became Yellow Ranger, then the Asian guy became the Black Ranger.
And suddenly it was a bad call on them because I feel like everyone remembers who Kimberly is and everybody remembers who Tommy is. And we'll talk about who Tommy is in a little bit. But nobody, unless you really know your Power Rangers, you don't necessarily remember them as well because Kimberly was in the movie and she continued on for all the first original seasons, all three of them.
I mean, I grew up and I remembered all of them. I remember Rocky, Adam.
Well, yeah, but you're a geek.
Apparently I am, but Red Ranger for sure must have like ignited something in me because I think he defined like what I define like what sexy men are. Like growing up, you know what I mean? Like he was a twunk, you know? He's hairless, but he's like muscular, you know?
Beefy
and beefy, right. And, you know, if I had to like be honest, like a lot of the porn I watch, like they kind of, you know, fit that kind of stereotype. Twunks. And speaking of Red Ranger and porn, though, did you know that there was a rumor that the Red Ranger had done pornography?
Before or after?
After.
Ooh. Yeah, he was like 18 in the show. If had he done it before, that would have been
illegal.
Devastating, yeah.
But it happens, I think, supposedly.
Supposedly. Allegedly,
Corrigan.
We don't know.
No, Brent Corrigan is like one of the stories.
Oh, so you do know.
It happens. allegedly the Red Ranger, Austin St. John, had done porn for Sean Cody. That name comes back.
Sean
Cody. Remakes, reboots, and revivals. Yeah.
I think that's the third time we've mentioned Sean Cody.
You know what? Like, as a gay man, yeah. They can't afford us.
Beer Krispy Kreme. Okay, well, moving on. Yeah, so obviously we were big fans of Power Rangers growing up. Mm-hmm. I remember actually seeing the movie. Yes. It was such a success that 2 years after it came out, they rushed a movie. But so in the original series, they took scenes from the Japanese Super Sentai show. They put it in there. But in the movie, all original stuff.
Yes.
So they upped the production level and then like they had more stuff to do. At one point, they like were dressed like ninjas and like
yes,
classic.
This is where they get their ninja power coins.
Yeah. And the movie actually was a little they like took it a step further. In the first 20 minutes, Zordon is gone.
He's not gone, gone.
He's not gone, gone, but the threat of him leaving is. Yeah. They're like, they have no one. Until Xena, the warrior princess, comes along.
Oh, that scantily clad beauty. You know who was supposed to play her originally?
She was really hot.
You know who she was supposed to be played by originally?
Who?
And there's actual test footage of it. Mariska Hargitay.
Really? Oh, yeah. My God. She would have been stunning.
Can you, what her career would be?
Yeah.
There's pictures of like her in costume. Like then they were doing like test shots, apparently.
I do think, though, it was very like risque. I mean, she was so...
Oh yeah!
I remember
watching it and be like, "This is kind of dirty." Like,
This
I shouldn't be watching this, and here I am, like enjoying this film.
And then they have what's the purple guy?
Ivan Ooze is the villain for the second one. That's the second one. For the film, Ivan Ooze was an original character. He wasn't in the original TV show.
Mm.
Ivan Ooze was kind of this campy, over the top character, right?
Like
He wasn't scary. Mm-hmm. He was just like a little flamboyant, actually.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So this whole show has camp factor written all over it.
Yes.
Everything about it, especially the film.
So it's so funny. I think which camp do you appreciate more?
In terms of...
Just in overall camp. Like what I feel like I saw the first episode of Power Rangers just literally yesterday again. I've seen it so many times, right? That it's like nothing. However, because I was thinking about it critically for the podcast.
Yeah,
I was realizing the first episode is bad, but as you watch the show is so campy. It's really delicious. It's like a delicious thing that I could still watch and be like, "This is awful," but I love it because I don't know. There's just something. I think the use of like Japanese footage, kind of trying to like break down these kids' psyches to a monster of the day type of situation. Yeah. I think there was. There's just a lot to unpack, and I'm sure brilliant people had tried to unpack this show. I'm not one of those people, but I still appreciate this show so much more. The movie itself, however, like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers of the movie, is the opposite. That movie, it doesn't have the same charm that the original one has because it's all American.
Yeah.
So the costumes are like a little hyper produced. The action sequences use like terrible CGI. Like, I think for me, the appeal for Power Rangers is kind of seeing those men in costumes fighting, you know? And I think that's sometimes that same argument and feeling I have when I watch the newer Godzilla movies. It's like, I don't want to see the CGI. I want to see like kind of like the ridiculous people in costume and fighting. So, you know, that's just it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, I love campy stuff. It's a show about five teenagers who have to fight intergalactic villains. They don't have time to be like, to take itself too seriously. And I love that, actually. I love the camp factor. I think not only is it charming, but it's brilliant that they, you know, recycled old footage from Super Sentai and they made it their own. And it definitely makes it, like, very enjoyable. I agree with you. And then the film, they kind of overly embrace the camp in the film.
Yeah, but I don't think and, it was, I think that, but I don't think it was intentional. It's a problem.
No, I mean, I think... At the end of the day, the Power Rangers, they know exactly what they are and who they're marketing to and what people like about them, or they did, and that it was for kids and all this stuff. So they were just like, throw caution to the wind with all of it. Fuck it.
I think the original one. I think the original TV show, there was that element.
I think in the film, too.
You think so?
I mean, I get it. Very ludicrous.
Maybe it's like the Hollywoodization of the Power Rangers that kind of is the Achilles heel for the Power Rangers as a franchise.
Perhaps. But I mean, Hollywood is also bigger, better, more explosions, more this, more that, more that, you know? Like, the more, the better.
Yeah.
Not less is more for Hollywood at all, so.
Want to hear another interesting fact about the Power Rangers movie?
Yeah.
So, I think to get into grad school or when I was doing my submissions, like, I wanted to be an editor. So, I edited, like, a fan version of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers that I included in my application for grad school.
Well, it's interesting because talk about fan versions of the Power Rangers. In 2015, the famous music video director, Joseph Kahn, I think he did a Kickstarter. And he did his own proposal for a feature-length film of the Power Rangers.
Yes.
And it was a 20-minute film, I believe. Maybe even 10 to 20-minute
film. No, I think it was, like, 15.
And it was the first one that took the original source material of the Power Rangers, because this is stuff that we all watched as kids and we're all adults now. So we want to see what these things that we grew up with as kids are like now in an adulthood. So what if the Power Rangers grew up?
Right.
Kids who, when they were 16, were thrown into like pretty much you have to save the world and you could be responsible for ending or bringing the apocalypse. Right. And what does that do to your like state of mind and what happens if you fail?
Right.
So this whole film is about they brought the apocalypse and they failed and now they're all like suffering from severe post-traumatic stress and they're dying one by one and someone's killing them and all this stuff. Very interesting approach to that.
Yes.
And that kind of sets up the one that came out 2 years ago in 2017, but we'll first talk about this one.
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised that you say very interesting because like you're always complaining about the darkening
of I'm going to complain about it, but like, because that's the thing, like, like I said, they know what the Power Rangers were and what like it was for, but it's also it was for kids. And although I'm not a fan of like the over darkening of this stuff and the cynicism and like nitty gritty of it, it's like after a while, especially with Batman, they fucking ruined Batman. The last Batman got preachy. It's like seriously, you're a fucking fake superhero. Don't preach to me.
Wait, which Batman are you talking about?
Rises.
Okay,
well it was ridiculous.
Disagree with you. We'll definitely argue about this during
when we do Batman.
But
it's just like. Just, like, know who you fucking are and stop preaching to me. Or, like, don't, like, try and tell me, preach to me about my society. Like, actually make me escape from it, okay? Like, fuck you. But in this one, for, like, a 15, 20-minute film, and it was very action-based, too, and it was just, like, it was kind of like one, like, it almost felt like an Agatha Christie novel where they're all getting killed one by one.
It was very
and
bloody
who's the perpetrator
and gory.
And stuff.
There was a lot of gore and blood.
Yeah. And it was interesting for the, I think that was the right amount of time and the right platform for them to examine that. I thought it was pretty well done.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the short film was really well done. I've watched it twice. The first time I saw it with Eddie Z and I was just like, cool.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of like watching fan-made stuff, despite the fact of me making a fan-made trailer.
Yeah.
But that's a trailer, all right? Not like a short film.
Yeah.
You know.
You'll watch your own fan-made stuff.
I'll watch my own fan-made stuff. I'm not watching other people's fan-made stuff because they're losers. Yeah. I'm not a loser.
Even though this guy is like a legit, it was a very legitimate project.
I'm
like
an artist.
When I even say fan-made, I don't think it's fan made. This is very professional. James Vanderbeek was in it, for Christ's
sake. James Vanderbeek was in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those. Okay, so there's like a cynicism that I have with these fan films.
Mm-hmm.
It's that usually these are just directors who are trying to kind of make a work that it went viral, so it got people's attention, right? And yeah, like what you're trying to do with that is just like, you're not trying to make that movie. You're just trying to make it, just to get your name seen. And I think it worked out.
You think it worked out?
I think it worked. I think it was, you know, it became like kind of buzzy for the week it was out until Saban kind of made him take it down, right?
Yeah. And that, yeah, also, and then it was hard to find. Yeah.
And that also gives it like a little bit of like mystique to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you didn't see it in that first week, it's just like, oh, you're missing out.
Yeah.
You see this hardcore Power Rangers movie.
Uh-huh. And that always, yeah, makes things more intriguing.
It does. But I think, I don't know. I maybe I didn't like it because it went too dark.
Yeah, there was the over-sexualization of certain characters too. I was like, do I need to see this? Do I need to see that Zach is with like prostitutes and like all this like really?
Oh, you don't think Zach would have been
MTV
with prostitutes?
Shit,
Zach would have totally been with prostitutes.
Probably, but it was a little like, okay, show it to me for like a certain amount of time and then move on.
What did Jason do? What happened to Jason? I think he was just murdered by Bulk and Skull of all people. Yeah, because he was married to Kimberly.
That almost. He thought he was rescuing Kimberly.
That was Tommy.
That was Tommy. Mm-hmm. And who was James Vanderbeek playing?
He was Rocky.
The second Red Ranger.
The second Red Ranger.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You're never one of us. And again, yeah, because she says that. Yeah, you were never one of us. Like, that's a mean thing to say, because Rocky was in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
Yeah. Seriously. Right?
Jason was not.
Yeah. And again, the Yellow Ranger is just like totally nobody cares about her. She died.
She died. Like, she has a funeral.
You, like, don't even you'll see how she dies. Yes. She just has a funeral.
Poor, poor Yellow Ranger. And it's also kind of in bad taste considering the real Yellow Ranger is dead. So I don't think it's in good taste to go to see a funeral for the Yellow Ranger.
And maybe that was like them trying to respect her and be like, nobody could play her, so let's just like kill her off.
Maybe. That's a good point. Maybe. That could have been their thought and their mindset. So
yeah. Actually, if you haven't seen this, it's on YouTube.
Yeah. We'll link to it in the show notes. So yeah, be sure to check out the show notes. I'll also link to my re-edit of the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It uses Inception
Watch
music.
Watch that. Yeah.
No, you never seen it? No. Oh my God, you gotta see it. I think it's such good work.
Is this as good as your Fuck the Pain Away Batman?
No, that's so much better. But that's also like me as an artist.
Yeah.
This is like me as like
expressing yourself.
I needed to
yes.
do something.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, so I think it's that over dramatizing of these children's property that it tends to be a problem. And I sort of agree with you. I disagree wholeheartedly on Batman, but I do agree with you that some properties don't need that.
Yeah.
I think for me, Power Rangers is one of those properties that doesn't need that.
It certainly
And that will definitely that. Take us to 2017's
Saban's Power Ranger. Power Rangers.
Yeah, Saban's. You have to say Saban's.
That's how I found it on Amazon.
Saban's Power Ranger.
Yeah.
Saban wants you to know that. It's like they still own these rights.
This is mine. It's not his. It's mine. Go, go, Power Rangers. I didn't even know this movie came out. It was such... Let's get this out. It was a complete dismal box office flop and not
it wasn't a flop
success. Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't a flop.
It was.
It wasn't.
According to Wikipedia, it was.
It wasn't a flop. Yeah. It didn't perform well, but it didn't lose money production-wise. Because I think it had $100 million production costs. It took in $140 million even internationally. So it wasn't a very good performance, but it wasn't a flop.
Well, it doesn't sound like it broke even then.
I mean, if you count marketing costs, the thing... Well, sorry, so here's the other reason why I don't consider this movie a flop.
Yeah.
Merchandising killed it. This movie killed it when it came to merchandising, according to Forbes.
Wow. Was I that out of it that, like, I didn't have any idea this movie came out?
Oh, man, I can't believe you didn't... So I remember when they first announced it, like, 3 years ago. I was so excited. Then they dropped the first trailer. It looked cool. Mm-hmm. It didn't look great. Like, I was expecting to go... Like, I was going to go see this movie regardless.
Yeah.
I was expecting to be disappointed. Mm. And I could say, after leaving the theater, I was not.
Okay.
So it kind of beat that low bar I had.
So for you, it was a success. But I think overall, it was a flop.
No, because...
They're not going to make a new one.
Yes, you're wrong. So now that Hasbro owns the rights to it, they're in development for a sequel.
Oh, they're going to lose Confirmed. So much money.
No. So here's the thing with these movies. And here, same thing goes with, like... comic book movies. Yeah, they make a lot of... And Star Wars. They make a lot of money, sure, in the box office,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of their money, like, their real profit margins come in the licensing for toys.
I see. But did anyone care about this film?
Enough for it to kill it in the actual merchandising. Merchandising, it performed really, really strong.
I mean, I've never had a conversation about this film with anybody. And everyone was like, did you see the new Power Rangers trailer 2 years ago to me? Like, it just, I feel like it came and it went. I mean, I don't know. The point is that the film didn't do as well as I think we would expect a Power Rangers reboot to do.
I agree. From a financial sense, yeah. It didn't perform as well as it probably should have.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that might have had to do with the critical reception of the film.
Yeah.
Which I think was a lot harsher than it needed to be. I don't think it was as bad as these critics were making it out to be, but
yeah, what did they expect?
Yeah, it was like this is a property that's made to push toys.
Yeah. You know? I mean, like, you get like, it's the fucking Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. Like, but according to our favorite Wikipedia, it is the first, and I don't think this is true at all, but if you go on the Wikipedia page for the new Power Rangers, it says it's the first blockbuster film to feature LGBTQ and autistic superheroes.
I think it might be for the autistic part.
Yeah, that one I do, but I don't, is it for the LGBTQ? And if so, that's sad. Because there was zero representation, only a mention of it. That's a
good question. Yeah, Trini was only hinted at being bisexual, I think.
Yeah, and she didn't even like confirm or like really talk about it. So it was ridiculous.
I agree with you.
But okay, so this is a reboot of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Correct.
Power Rangers have gone on for many, many seasons, definitely a lot of teams, but they focused on the original, the ones that we were talking about before, Jason, Kimberly, Zach, Billy, and Trini. Mm-hmm. And all of the colors, according to their name, are the same. So Billy is the Red Ranger. Yes. He's still the leader. Kimberly is still the pink one. Trini's yellow. Zach is black, and Billy is blue. But this time, they were smart enough to mix it up.
So, they didn't. They have Latina being the Yellow Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
I think you thought that she was also the Pink Ranger. I don't think she. I think she's Jewish.
And then an Asian actor played the Black Ranger.
Like in the second iteration of the Black Ranger.
The Blue Ranger, Billy, who was the autistic one.
Yes.
Was played by a Black actor. And then Billy was, of course, the white guy was still the leader.
The Red Ranger was still.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the film favored him so much, and I get it, he's the leader,
he is the leader.
Have to like see it through but like a little too much, like his backstory opens up the film, like they spend a lot of time with like him and why, you know, he became the outcast that he did and all this stuff, and then everybody else was just kind of hinted at. Trini doesn't even get introduced like halfway into the movie. Out of all of them, the Yellow Ranger is once again at the bottom of the totem pole.
But the Yellow Ranger got one of my more favorite scenes of the film. In Rita? Which is when she's like dinner with her family and they're like arguing. It's just like, you know, talk to me, like open up to me, like very Hispanic household. Because
yeah.
I've been to these dinners with my parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you make a joke and then next thing you know, your mom's accusing you of doing drugs.
Yeah.
Like, and I thought that was a very memorable scene. And as a Hispanic, I very much related to that scene.
And it was cute because she was telling her mother the truth.
She was telling the mom.
She was opening up and she got punished. And I, at the end of it, she's actually like, they're like, yeah, the Blue Ranger is so cool. Her little brothers are talking about the Power Rangers on TV. She's like, hey, the yellow one's pretty cool.
And they're like, he. And then she's just like, she's a woman.
How do you know he's a she? Yeah. Which I thought was actually kind of tongue in cheek because the Yellow Ranger.
Yeah, for the original. Yeah.
Zordon's there. Alpha played 5 by, is there.
Played by, I was going to say Billy Cranston. His,
Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston. Thank you.
Very similar.
Very similar and not intentional. Like I thought. Up until rewatching it, I thought it was actually Billy Cranston. I thought it was like, oh, that's such an homage to Bryan Cranston. No, it turns out that was his name in the TV show. Didn't know that.
And then Alpha 5.
Played by Bill Hader.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
But and then Rita. I didn't like this Alpha 5.
Yeah, I didn't care for Alpha 5. I don't know what those
eyes were about.
We didn't really talk about Alpha 5 when we talked about the original, but like.
Aye.
Pretty much, you know, Zordon, he like lives in a glass essentially, and like
in the original one, this one he lives in a wall,
and it's more 3D but still looks weird. And then the robot is there to actually physically interact with them and do the things that Zordon can't do,
right?
And he's kind of like the comedic relief, I suppose.
He was definitely comedic relief,
like a C-3PO ish kind of character.
So
in the new one, he's just, I don't know, he nothing special.
What? Alpha 5?
Alpha 5, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't really anything special in the TV show either.
Rita was great in the movie, though.
So I was actually, that's one of my things I was most bummed out about. Is that to say that I didn't like Elizabeth Banks as Rita? I don't think it was my Rita. Because my Rita is crazy. My Rita has a ridiculous outfit.
She talks like that.
Yeah, she's just so over the top. She should have been like a different character. Like, there's nothing wrong with like messing with the with the, you know, storyline here. Give me, you know, if the story can be about the Power Rangers and just give me a different villain that Elizabeth Banks is playing, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I just don't call her Rita, I guess. Mm. But again, I do agree with you. I think it was an interesting enough character for me to enjoy it. I kind of like the storyline of making her the original Green Ranger and tying that kind of storyline into the Power Rangers story here.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's how they became the Power Rangers, right? They were called upon by Zordon. Zordon gives them power. The first episode, they're kind of figuring out if they want to take the power responsibility, and they do. Mm-hmm. Here, the story really focuses on them taking on the responsibility. More importantly, trying to figure out how to morph, because there's not a lot of morphing in this movie.
In the reboot. So they all kind of go to school except for Zach.
I mean, Zach says he goes whenever he wants. He's so cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. This movie was so preoccupied with seeming cool. I feel like this movie was like needed to take off its leather jacket and like take off all the grease in its fucking hair, because it's like, why are you pretending to be cooler than you really are?
Ooh, what? What are you talking about?
You didn't get that sense from the movie?
Nah, not that much.
I mean, like, other than... And it's fine. Like, I felt the same way about the original. And this is not necessarily a bad thing, but, like, generic, one-dimensional bullshit. Like, the characters inherited most of that.
Even Billy?
Not in the remake.
Yeah, in the remake, Billy...
I think Billy was the strongest character.
I think I like Billy's relationship with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
That was also kind of sweet.
That was cute, yeah. And Jason was, yeah, very much the leader and really played that role.
Yeah.
But, like, the slow motion and just, like, and the stupid one-liners. And...
Well, I think one of the things this movie did suffer from was it really thought a little highly of itself.
It did.
And I think that was a little bit problematic because...
They just thought people would eat up the cliches, you know, like this is what people want to see and they're going to love it. And it's just like, no, actually, sometimes I roll my eyes at it.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to. So, for example, the last act, the CGI fight with the Zords and stuff. Like, yeah I want to see Zords, but do them right. You know, like, you don't have to give me men in costumes, but you don't have to give me like shitty Transformer like CGI. You know what I mean? Where your eye just can't, like, figure out what it's looking at because it's all, like, just CGI hot mess, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know. I think, for me, a lot of the movie falls apart in probably the final act with all the action sequences.
Yeah, well, when they all of a sudden know how to work their machines and...
Yeah, but I can forgive that just because, like, when you're a Power Ranger, you know. You just know. Like, it's second
Even though they didn't know how to freaking morph until, like, that day.
Well, and that also... I can forgive also because they kind of made that clear that, like, morphing... is about being selfless. It's about kind of being a team, a unit.
That element I enjoyed. But then after that, everything just got rushed. And it was just like, okay, now they can morph. Now they can do anything.
Yeah, so the reason I actually enjoyed that element was more so because that kind of was the part that was kind of the truest to the original show. In which the kids always have to learn a lesson before they can proceed to defeat the monster. In this lesson for the film, it was about becoming a team, becoming a family. Mm. And I think actually, that's one of the things that I actually most enjoyed about the film. I actually like the characters. I think a lot of the performances are strong enough that I was, like, engaging with them.
Yeah, so there's a scene in the film where they all kind of, after getting into a massive fight, decide to camp with each other.
Yeah, they're just hanging out, like, by fire.
Just hanging out. And then they open up to each other because they're like, why can't we morph? Like, a good chunk of the movie is, like, you have to morph to train and they can't morph.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, maybe we should try to figure this out. So let's get to know each other. And they all hang around the fire and they all tell each other. And it's like a moment, actually, of you realize that these kids are all the outcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the original Power Rangers, I thought they were one-dimensional and they didn't have any problems. Mm-hmm. They went home and they ate dinner, you know, and they gave their mom a kiss on the cheek and they went to sleep and then they were Power Rangers the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
But in this one, like, dysfunctional family lives, you know, like one of them's autistic, a lot of them feel unheard, mom's sick, all this stuff. Like, really relatable problems. And that element I found was really interesting.
Yeah.
But at the same time... This goes into the whole, it kind of, it's like, I don't know how to feel about it. And like, it's overall, I didn't mind it, but it was turning it, you know, now that we're adults and we want to see things and we want to, like, it's giving us that cynicism and that realism edge to it that, like, do we need, it's nice and I'm glad I'm getting it. But at the same time, like, do we need this?
So I think yes, because of its target audience, which is younger kids. So I think the target audience was for sure younger kids, especially because of marketing purposes, like toys and stuff. But I think, yeah, for the younger kids, it's like important to necessarily kind of see yourself in a character.
Yeah.
So yeah, having the autistic kid, having the the kid who is possibly bisexual and like really relating to her parents, I think that's important to see. Yeah. Like, you know, even as an adult, I kind of related to that sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Is Power Rangers the place to see that? I always come from the mind like, well, why not? You know?
True, but at the same time, I kind of think that the target audience are millennials.
So, all right. So, yeah, let's talk about that. So, right. So, who do you think this movie was made for?
Millennials that will bring their children, maybe. But again, at the same time, we had this conversation, I think, for Girl Meets World, Boy Meets World, where it's like, do millennials have kids yet?
I mean, maybe they like, could probably wait. Like, yes, but not old enough, I think, to start appreciating these properties.
Yeah. I mean, and so it's interesting because with all of that, like, okay, so then if it really was like merchandising and like really like made for kids and stuff, I think that's also why it kind of was a flop.
Yeah, so
because I think it was a little confused about who its target audience was.
I think so. I agree with you. I think this movie either came like 10 years too late,
mm-hmm.
or 10 years too early.
Mm.
You know, I think if you had waited 10 years, you probably would have had more parents like really wanting to go with their kids.
True,
to see this.
But will the millennial nostalgia era be in 10 years still? Even though the millennials will have kids that will be appropriate ages for it. It's like interesting.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's tough because then it's like at the same time, I feel like you're
always going to have nostalgia. So if this is like the big target let's say half of the audience that used to watch Power Rangers growing up attends this movie with their kids, they'll be fine financially.
True, but I guess I'm saying like this is the millennial era.
Yeah.
So the things that are pandering to us.
But then the movie should have been made for that audience. Which is the problem.
I feel like it kind of was, but at the same... And then that's why... I think it was a flop, even though the merchandising aspect wasn't. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that is successful for the kids, because they're the ones who are dumb enough to buy that shit. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I love children. But I still think that that's why, like, this movie really missed the mark.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think... I do agree with you. I think the movie misses mark. I don't know what could have been done differently.
Well, that's the thing.
Should they have gone the hyper violent route of
the
short film?
No, because the things that I liked about the Power Rangers that we talked about, they didn't do any of that in this new one. That's why I said it was also appearing too cool. Like, why are you trying to be so cool, actually? Can't you just be fun and light and loose?
I don't mind the kids having drama, though.
But I'm not even talking about the drama.
So then what are you, like, I think for me, it was mostly just action sequences and stuff. And it was just like too CGI heavily reliant and just a lot of the same problems they have with a lot of just modern
everything movies. About it was it had more of a gritty feeling to it.
It did have a gritty feeling,
and even its humor was like a little bit darker. Mm-hmm. And that's not why I saw the Power Rangers. When I rewatched the Power Rangers, everything I enjoyed about it was completely empty and removed from this new one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, this is everything that you grew up with, but now it's like on the other side of the road, the darker side of the road of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, did I want to see that? No, like everything I like about Power Rangers is escapism, and now you're gonna show me what it was like if, you know, it was more realistic. And
yeah,
no, it's just kind of annoying.
I agree.
Timer.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think there's a solution, because then that's just saying it's just like, why are any of these movies made?
Yeah.
And it's like I said, it's just interesting, the fact that like almost 10 years ago they were re-editing the original Power Rangers. So I mean, there's some kids out there still watching these.
Definitely. And I mean I'm torn because like I actually, and I'm not gonna jump ahead to whether or not I like the film or not, but like I don't know if like we care anymore for things from our childhood turn into like cynical, gritty, dark things that represent what it's like to be an adulthood. Because I get it, we all grew up and we realize that life can kind of suck and life is dark and life is hard. But at the same time, like, if you're going to remind me of things in my childhood, then remind me of how my childhood made me feel. You know, give me more of a rosebud aspect. Don't show me the sled with all of its... I'm sorry, I'm ruining. giving away a thing here. But don't show it to me with all its scars and, like, it got burnt and, like, this is what it looked like when, like, a guy, like, you know, shot a gun into it. It's got a bullet. Like, I don't want to see the sled for that, you know? Like, I want this... I want to look at the sled and I want to remember the smell of it and, like, sledding on it and all this shit. Like, does it make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like it
was but
an
I think
okay
that,
film.
But that nostalgia is dangerous.
Why?
Because it just kind of has this idea of it harkens back to like better days. But and that's a dangerous thing to always play with, because if that past isn't reflecting the realities of today, then why even bother? I don't think there's anything wrong with necessarily looking back. Like, I don't mind looking back to the original Power Rangers and having fun. Like, you know, it's just a kids campy TV show from the 90s. Yeah. That's fine for that era. If they're going to do Power Rangers, they have to, like, address what's going on now.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't think they have to necessarily address what's... I don't think they need to make it period. I think they need to leave Power Rangers alone is what I think.
Right.
Because I
would agree with you there.
And also, I think our society is incredibly infantile. We need to get over our childhoods, right? But they keep bringing these things back and they're making them more accessible for an adulthood. And I actually think that's kind of inappropriate, because it's like, actually, no, make it more appropriate for children. Keep it what it is. Keep it back in
my
past.
Okay.
Do not adapt to it, because then I'm never going to get over it and I'm going to stay in this infantile state.
So you're saying you would have been happier if they had just remade this movie with a kid's audience in mind. Yes. Like, not PG-13, just make it PG.
Yeah.
Almost similar to like the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
Yeah. I think that's when I would have really liked the film.
I understand that. I respect that point of view. I think, I don't know if I agree with it, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And I think, that makes sense.
Because at the end of the day, like, I know what I'm getting at with the Power Rangers. So I didn't think it was a terrible film. I would, you know, if you like the Power Rangers, by all means, you should definitely watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is how I feel overall about where we're going in this trend of remakes and reboots of things, particularly from, like, 80s, 90s nostalgia for millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's also really, you know, messing with our heads almost. Like, I really think we're kind of infantile when it comes to our taste level, at least in culture and pop culture. So I don't know. That's what I think. And I guess that maybe answers as to whether or not I think this reboot was needed.
Yeah.
What about you?
So do I? No, I think I agree with you. I don't know if this movie was necessarily needed. I liked it. I didn't hate it. But I don't know if it was needed.
Yeah.
Like I said, I liked the kids' performances. I liked, you know, fake Zac Efron as the Red Ranger.
He was cute.
Yeah, he's adorable. He reminds me of Zac Efron, right? And I was just like, every time I saw him,
you should like him for him, Rolando.
Well, Zac Efron, you know, he's proved himself lately as like an actor, I think. I like the cast. I like the cast.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy kind of how they handled the kids' storyline. I just didn't care for how they handled the Power Rangers element.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what...
And I agree with you.
That's what I think is the problem, ultimately, with this film. That's why I don't think it was needed.
No, I the best thing about it was the cast. Mm-hmm. And on that note, let's have a lightning round.
Sure.
Lightning round. All right, so for Red Ranger, we'll do the original Jason. Then we could do Rocky in the movie, in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. And then the new Jason.
Yeah.
Who do you prefer?
I'm going to go with original Jason.
Because
he's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That says it all.
Yeah, I like the original Jason. I think he was a really good leader. And between all of them, I want him to lead me.
Yeah, agreed.
That sounded highly suggestive. But, okay, so for Blue Ranger, the original Billy or the new Billy?
New Billy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know David Yost, the original actor for the Power Rangers? He was gay.
I could see that.
So he was, not only was he gay, but there was actually more drama behind the scenes stuff. So he was basically ousted by the producers because he was gay.
Really?
Yeah, he had a big coming out book and stuff recently.
Oh my gosh.
The last like 5-10 years.
I would totally read that.
And yeah, apparently like they just never... Yeah, they were just not down to the 90s, the producers at least. It seemed like according to the book from the experts that were out there, the cast itself, they didn't really care.
Mm.
It was just like the producers.
Yeah. Yeah. The children themselves. 20 years ago, man.
Yeah. Not that long ago.
No. So. okay, Pink Ranger, Kimberly, old or new?
I'm going to go with Kimberly from the original series.
I'm going to go with Kimberly from the new one. I thought it was interesting when like she had her big moment and her story. And it was like, it was so now in terms of like bullying and stuff.
Online bullying.
Yeah. And
I just feel like she was just so like, her drama was so like kind of just like, ugh.
Well, it's very...
I like the sending the nude pictures and the fact that she kind of like punched someone and she was kind of a badass. I think she just like really... This whole, like, she was trying to be so secretive about her secret, her dark secret. Just like, girl, just own it.
It felt like an accurate portrayal of, you know, not only bullying, but women bullying and, like, issues that, like are for young women, like girl in this on day girl
bullying.
Age.
Yeah, because girl on girl bullying is horrible.
It's terrible. Yeah, and like the issues you, that plague like, them today. Yeah, and that was just
that's
like,
straight up mental harassment. There, that's like mm-hmm. straight up. That's psyche they mess for.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. And if you're going to address an issue, if you're going to make the Power Rangers kind of like a let's address issue thing, okay, that's a good issue to address. Yes.
Black guys heal. The psyche damage that girls do not. Or gay guys, for that matter.
Yeah, no, it's vicious. Gossip Girl. Okay, so let's do Zach. Original Zach.
Ooh, or new Zach. Oh, I kind of like, I'm going to, that's a tie for me. I like them both.
Yeah, I like them both.
I like them both. I think... I might, the new one, the new Zach might edge out a little bit. I think kind of like hearing him speak Mandarin mm-hmm. with his mom and like kind of taking care of her. I that was sweet.
And to finish off the Power Rangers, do you like the original Trini or the new Trini or the second Trini?
Oh, Aisha. Okay, so I like the new Trini. Hispanic. I liked her too. Yeah, yeah. I liked her. I wish I would have like explored a little bit more. Her sexuality.
I totally wish that would have been a thing. If you're gonna go there, go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Don't put it on Wikipedia that it's the first representation of LGBTQ community. Oh my when God.
Wikipedia is not like a real thing.
I get so angry. So many people look at that and take it as fact.
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
Right?
You know, that was the original idea for the Power Rangers. The Yellow Ranger originally was supposed to be Mexican American,
and then she got miscast.
She got recast. Yeah. There were two. There's two versions of the story. One. She got recast because she was asking for more money,
mm-hmm.
or two, the producers decided they really want to pay homage to kind of having a for the kind of Asian representation. So that's why they decided to have.
Well, interesting. Yeah. I think it was the money.
Oh, it was definitely the money. The original producers for Power Rangers were so fucking cheap. But
oh hell
interesting.
Yeah!
I didn't know that. I didn't know that she was gonna be Mexican. Now that kind of makes a whole. Idea that like oh the fact that she was Asian and yellow kind of coincidental a lot less true I think
yeah
like now it seems like that's just a cover because if she was going to be Hispanic and then they turned her into an Asian it seems like oh no maybe this was not this might have been intentional
yeah
hang on
well the interesting too is that they because it's supposed to be Angel Grove was going to take place in Southern California they felt like they had to have like a Hispanic representation in that. Of course, the town would be diverse in that sense. There would be Latinos in Angel Grove.
That's true.
So to kind of like to to represent that.
Speaking of Angel, we didn't talk about the
location. Yeah,
the location Angel Grove. Yeah, yeah. Originally, it was in California. The second one, I guess, it was at Midwest. I want to say coastal.
It felt more
like Pennsylvania, like
yeah,
right. It's not like I wouldn't say like a. I'm thinking like a coal, like a mining city.
Yeah, very near to that.
You know, so on the coast,
though. Maybe even
it was like fisherman heavy,
yeah.
Because the guy's father was a fisherman, Jason's father was a fisherman, Roy from The Office,
yeah. Oh, that's where I knew him from,
yeah. That was Roy from The Office, he was a fisherman for some reason. They exist,
that's the fish, yeah.
They're grown in farms, everyone knows this.
All right, so let's do Rita.
Oh, my original Rita forever.
Yeah.
She is my
Her
Rita.
Her voice alone just wins it for me. I think Elizabeth Banks did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
She made the blatant product placement of Krispy Kreme in this new one.
Her choice.
Well, no, but she made that scene when it was so terrible when she's eating the donut. Actually not, like, it wasn't too bad. It was an enjoyable scene.
It was, only because the way she just eats the donut.
It's
so funny because there is action behind her, right? But she's just enjoying this donut, just 5,000-year-old, like, no, way more. She was from, like, the time the dinosaurs
68-million-year-old girl, yeah.
Enjoying her first Krispy Kreme donut.
Yeah, very, yeah. Stupid, but...
She earned it.
Yeah, she did a good job. Okay, so Alpha.
Original.
Original, yeah. And Zordon.
I'm going to go with Bryan Cranston's Zordon. He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I actually like the fact that he was a little... ulterior motive, right? Like he wanted to like be revived and that's was his plan.
Yeah.
So that kind of made for a more interesting story.
Yeah. And he wanted his second shot, but you know.
He wanted his second shot.
That's probably why he stunted the
like Jason said, Jason clapped back. He just like, you had your shot. You died.
Yeah.
Not like that, not as gay like that. I kinda wish it was actually now a gay flamboyant.
Oh, that would be so great as a leader. They could have really done that.
No, I kinda want the gay guy to be like kind of like the vice president.
Oh, you want him to be like a stereotype?
Like kind of I actually would love a stereotype Power Ranger, a gay person, a gay Hispanic and me. I want me to be the next Power Ranger.
Cass Rolando in the sequel. He could be Tommy. You'd make a great Tommy.
Oh, man. I'd be so catty.
Yeah.
Like, because he becomes a Green Ranger, right? So he's going to fight with him for the first
half. Yeah, and the Green Ranger at first is, like, taken by Rita, and it's under her power, so he's, like, a bad ranger, but then he becomes a good ranger if you don't know who Tommy is. So, okay. Now you know. Yeah.
So that's that.
Well, go Power Rangers.
Yeah. I'm so glad we talked about this, because Power Rangers is one of my... That's, like, one of the pillars of my childhood right there.
Yeah. There's a lot to Power Rangers. I hope we covered it, guys. If we missed anything, or if you want to share any of your thoughts on Power Rangers, let us know. Email us at remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com.
And you can also follow us on social media.
Mm-hmm. Send us a message there.
Yeah, we're on Instagram at remakesrebootsrevivals. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, remakesrebootsandrevivals. And I'm going to say it again. Leave us a rating.
Yeah, seriously. Like, let us know you care.
We've earned it.
Seriously.
All right. Well, with that,
mm-hmm.
Nicole.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Stay an original.